Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Charles Bonniewell. I'm the younger brother of Chuck Bonniewell, who passed away this last week and due to COVID complications. But we're going to keep the name of the show the same. I've met with Rev, and he says I look a lot like his father, just a little bit younger. And so I appreciate that. So.
For folks who are listening to this, not seeing it, Chuck has had a beard for several years now, right? Mm-hmm. And he shaved it off. So you're going to have to check out the podcast, the video portion of it to see Chuck. I think you look great. I think you look great. Although poor Chuck, he's like, I don't even have any razors. I'm like, you have to shave. It's like, hey, this is the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. You remember, you can get all of our shows always at chuckandjulie.com or also at bbsradio.com/Chuck and Julie Show. At 3:30, we're going to have Joy Overbeck come on. I'm sure you guys all know who she is. Very active in Douglas County Republican politics, great columnist. And she's really been one of the people leading the fight for our kids, especially down in Douglas County. But the State Board of Education is considering some proposals. We talked a little bit about this with Dave Williams on Friday, on social studies standards for our kids from kindergarten on. And this would be at all Colorado schools. And as you can imagine, they were drafted by a bunch of lefties and they're pretty atrocious. So we'll be talking to her about that. And also Joy is a woman of action, what you can do about it. She's going to have some information on what can be done about it. But first, I wanted to talk about kind of a goofy weekend with Joe Rogan. We've got the Ottawa truckers, all kinds of freedom fighting things going on, which is really good news. Governor Newsom has decided he doesn't have to wear a mask anymore. So I guess that means no one does. Hopefully all the kids in California.
No, he doesn't go that far. But
he just doesn't wear one.
He just doesn't wear one. As is his right, his constitutional right.
Because he's an elite.
But it's amazing. We're about to play a piece from CNN. And it really reminds me of that old Bob Dylan tune, Times Are Changing, or Mothers and Fathers. Don't criticize, you don't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. And the old road is rapidly aging. That's what's happened. They've lost the old media, which they could control.
The corporate media.
They could, AP, New York Times, Washington Post, ABC, they could put out whatever the story was. And that was the story by and large. Now they're finding they can't. They can't tell the story that the people who are rejecting their CNN, MSNBC, Associated Press, Washington Post, and don't even listen to it. So all they're saying, well, wait a minute, what's going to happen if we can't tell our underlings, our uninvited ones,
what to do? How will we even know there's a mask mandate?
Yeah.
We won't go, okay,
so watch this wonderful little bit of you get Schadenfreude listening to this and enjoying it, but the...
This is Brian Stelter with CNN and his host kind of talking about it. And pay attention, particularly when they comment about how they are the enlightened ones. They really reveal a lot about themselves in this. And so, TJ, if we could please play the CNN soundbite.
People who are listening to Joe Rogan's podcast don't necessarily believe it to be bad information. So there was an analogy drawn between Doritos and Joe Rogan's podcast. People know that Doritos are not necessarily good for them. That you're not going to find a nutritional expert who says, you should eat a lot of Doritos. But there are a lot of people who listen to Joe Rogan's podcast who believe that he's actually the truth teller. They believe the opposite, that Joe Rogan is good for an informational diet. And I think that's what's so important, is that the people who are listening to him don't believe it to be bad information. So it's difficult, I guess, for them to make that good choice of consuming information when they think that the podcast hosting people with anti-vaccine rhetoric is really the truth-telling podcast.
Kat, you made the Doritos reference. I rather liked it. What do you say to Oliver?
I think that it just ultimately comes down to the question of how do you want to solve this? And that's sort of where the analogy comes in. Here's people who you know, they like something that we, you know, who consider ourselves more enlightened, don't think is good for them. You know, we think that they're internalizing this misinformation, that they're using it to make bad decisions. But if you took away Joe Rogan by deplatforming him, just as if you, you know, took away Doritos, would they seek out better information? Would they seek out, you know, like a podcast like New York Times The Daily, or, you know, would they start
the New York
the
Times
Wall Street
podcast?
Journal? I
don't know.
I think that that's sort of the fundamental question here.
So it does seem like increasingly this is this completely alternative media ecosystem that has to be understood. And it is that Rogan media ecosystem. And you're saying those listeners are not going to go over to they're not going to read the Associated Press if Rogan disappears. So I feel like what Kat, you're saying is just taking a more realistic approach to this whack-a-mole of bans.
Poor CNN. They're like, did you catch all the things? And if you guys want to comment, feel free to comment in the comment section. 888-627-6008 is also where you can call on if you want to. And if you're on Zoom and you want to go ahead and unmute your mic, you can do that too. A lot of things to unpack there. Number one, they're just flat out assertion that what Joe Rogan is saying is wrong. Now, they don't say what
but it's misinformation.
But it's misinformation. It's just not wrong. And did you hear they refer themselves? People like us who are enlightened, we know.
What's
to go
good
see.
For them and what they but how do we get them to force feed them? We used to have control over them and now we don't. And it's just amazing. As Joe Rogan said, he's a little unclear what the misinformation is.
Well, they never tell you that. The misinformation.
Well, he said, well, the things like, you know, 6 months ago, if you said that the virus came from a lab in Wuhan, that was considered gross misinformation and conspiracy theory. If you said that the cloth masks don't work, it was conspiracy talk and misinformation.
Killing people. If you said that people who had been vaccinated.
Yeah, if you got vaccinated and double vaccinated and booster that you still could get COVID, they'd say that's a lie. That's misinformation. So luckily, however, if we give them back, if they can't squash everybody, what are they going to do? You know, I mean, it's.
Well, what's interesting is, and I think it's for so long, you got to keep in mind, and I'm going to talk about the elites, the swamp, they're all lumped in together with these media organizations. And what's happened is, and as you've always say, Chuck, they've been lying to us forever, but now they're lying about stuff. And we've talked about this on the show, that we can see with our own eyes. We can see that if you have all of the vaccinations, if you have all of the boosters, just like Justin Trudeau in Canada, you still get COVID. So they can't tell you, get it and you won't get sick anymore. We know that that's not true. All the stuff they tell us that you can see, you know, they're like, we're not teaching critical race theory, which we'll get into later. And they are teaching critical race theory. We can see this stuff happening. And that's why the response has been now that they know that people are seeking out their Doritos, if they want to call it Doritos. I would say no, we're seeking out the truth. They want to censor it. I think Joe Rogan came out and said, well, I'll try to do both sides.
Well, and I don't have the quote here, but the quote from the CEO of Spotify said they'll have a disclaimer saying, directing people to trusted sources if they want to get if Joe Rogan wasn't telling them the truth, they could go to this other site who went to trusted sources.
I mean, well, this is Charlene. This is so true, Charlene. Now they're lying about lying to us. Exactly. This from Leo. Wait. So from Fauci, you don't need a mask. You need a mask. You need two masks. And now the CDC says they don't work. Is that misinformation? Yeah. I mean, it's just, they just are lying. And here's a point. And that's why we always have to keep in mind, well, it's kind of fun to play this, but keep in mind their end game. Okay. When Newsom sort of obliquely says, oh, you know, I only took my mask off for a little bit at the championship game. Sure, he was pictured not wearing a mask, eating in the skybox and everything like that. They have no intention of wearing the masks. Nancy Pelosi had no intention of not getting her haircut during the lockdown. AOC has no intention of wearing a mask or sticking around New York where everything is so boring, expensive and cold. They know that they're not going to follow the rules that they make. They know that they are lying to us. But they think that we're just a bunch of rednecks, like the truckers in Ottawa, a bunch of fringe people, a lot of fringe people. We're deplorables.
Well,
we just want to do is eat Doritos.
Why the panic? The panic is now. Just look at the cable news ratings. Fox just dominates. And the most conservative Fox ones, like Tucker Carlson and The Five and others, get the greatest ratings. and CNN and MSNBC are way down. So that means that the stories they put out don't go out. They just don't go out. And so more than half the people are listening to alternative sources, which in fact are it's a totally dude. I mean, every day I go, and in my little routine is to look at Fox and then look at Gateway and then look at the Breitbart and then Real Clear Politics, which gives you an article from each. And then I go to CNN and then I go to NBC or maybe ABC sometimes.
For fun, I look at the Daily Beast sometimes too.
And as a practical matter, it's two different information universes. They are not talking about the same things. I mean, in Fox or Gateway, and they do different ones too. You know, they're talking about illegal aliens, the flights in, the midnight flights. None of that is on mainstream media. And mainstream media, I have a friend, Lorna, who was talking to a Democratic friend, saying, you know, those flights, what are you talking about?
The illegal alien flights.
In flights of illegal aliens being trucked into the United States. Where did you get that? And she said, you must have got that from some weird, and it's true. One to them, it's a different world. The only world they have is Ukraine right now, and anti-Trump, but Ukraine, COVID porn, and can we have a, please have a nice little war with Ukraine?
Mm-hmm. Along a black Supreme Court justice who's a woman. But the problem I have is people don't like it. Most people still turn around and say, okay, you know, Biden really though should look at all of the candidates and consider them equally. Ukraine, no, we don't want to go to war with Ukraine. So all of their things are falling apart. And like, again, it's like a dangerous cornered animal. That's why we need to remain vigilant. I think they're going to remain more, they're going to become more dangerous. They're going to crack down on the censorship. Joe Rogan, here's the thing. I mean, he stayed up because he gets, you know, 40 million people listening, like literally to his podcast. So even if you're Spotify, you're like, oh, I can't really censor that, right? Because then he'll just go to Rumble or someplace else. But YouTube got rid of us. They got rid of Dan Bongino. When you post stuff on Facebook, if they don't like it, they put the little things there. They're going to start censoring us. They're going to start, I believe, calling more and more of this domestic terrorism. And they're going to try to, don't you think? I fear that they're going to crack down harder and harder.
You fear, there they are.
Well, there it is. But I think it is becoming so prevalent, right? And their lies are so ridiculous that people just see straight through it. And just like the truckers in Ottawa, right? There's just too many of them. There are thousands and thousands of people showing up and you can't arrest them all and you can't put them all in prison and you can't, you know, you cannot talk to them. But the more you don't talk to them, then the more it fuels the sense that you, our government, doesn't care. You just look at us as a bunch of deplorables and you're the elites enriching yourselves at our cost, basically. And people, I think, are more and more getting tired of it.
Well, and they've got the midterm elections, which they figure out how can they rig those. And they rigged the last election. And if you go, there's a wonderful article, if you go to Real Clear Politics and what the Wall Street Journal got wrong about the 2020 election. And it's, it really applies to Peter or anyone else. Where they say, well, some rules were bent, but, you know, it was a clean election. No, it wasn't.
No.
What you had was the Democrats taking over the electoral system by putting their own people into election offices with money from the outside and running huge get out the vote and anything
ballot
else they could do. And
right.
Ballot harvesting, all in the auspices of being the government.
Speaking of that, I don't know if you guys have noticed, the Gateway Pundit had this is a little aside, Dinesh D'Souza and the True the Vote people are putting together a documentary. The trailer shows some of these ballot traffickers wearing gloves, right? Wearing plastic gloves, depositing all kinds of ballots in the drop boxes, even though that's illegal in the states where they were doing it. And then, you know, taking pictures so they could prove it so they could get paid. And then they had the geo tracking. So that's going to be real. They found in some of the key, I think, six different states and the key counties in six different states, 2000 that they could track, 2000 ballot traffickers. Let me go. So this is from Leo, Dr. D, Patron, or boutique stuff like Sammy Hager's Cabo Wabo. You're doing happy hour Monday to practice for party Friday. You go, Leo. Yeah. Okay. And Leo saw that one guy went to 20 different Dropbox 53 times. And so again, they'll say, oh, that's the big lie. It's like, well, that's not a lie. I mean, that happened. And again, they want to censor you. They want to shame you, but their lies are falling apart. We're going to play another one too.
But you have to understand their lies their lies are not getting out sufficiently to people they want to influence.
That's
and
why
they don't know what to do about Tucker Carlson and
Joe Rogan
and all the rest of them, because they're losing this war because most people don't want to hear more panic porn in Ukraine.
And it doesn't actually, what's bizarre is it doesn't occur to any of them that maybe they should be a little bit more unbiased. Maybe they should, you know, pay attention to what people want to talk about or what people actually care about. No, instead, the only thing they want to do is say, well, we're enlightened. And how do we get people to listen to us? Because we know this is, but again, so much has happened that we can see with our own eyes is not true. This occurred over the weekend too. Jen Psaki, who is just, I mean, I don't even have words to describe just how outrageous she is. But listen to the arrogance and the smugness here. They're talking about crime, and she's on some podcast, and listen to the way she talks about, again, all of us deplorables and us misinformed, unenlightened people. So if we could please play Thomas, the Psaki soundbite.
Boxes that you had, that we had on all the TVs, right? Which is on my TV right now. So right now, just to give you a sense, so CNN, Pentagon, as many as 8,500 U.S. troops on heightened alert. Okay, true. Same on MSNBC. CNBC is doing their own thing about the market. And then on Fox is Jeanine Pirro talking about soft on crime consequences. I mean, what does that even mean, right? So there's an alternate universe on some coverage. What's scary about it is a lot of people watch that.
Okay, so here, Jen Psaki, as you laugh about the soft on crime, let me just throw out some statistics. In Denver, on one day this weekend, on Saturday night, four people were murdered in three different shootings in Denver and Aurora. Prompting, there's been such a heightened rise in crime. The mayor of Denver, although he's largely to blame for it, is having a meeting this week to come up with what he's calling revised public safety stances. Now, maybe it'll involve actually sending cops to places instead of social workers. But so those four people murdered, I mean, tell their families, Jen Psaki, that what is soft on crime? Ha, ha, ha. What does that even mean?
Well, what I love
that. Let me just finish. Just to give you the truth. I mean, this is what Jen Psaki, she's just flat out lying there. Okay.
No.
Let me finish. The FBI says the murder rate in 2020 went up 30%, the largest increase ever. And it's up even more in 2021. And having set records in 2020, in 2021, there are 16 major Democrat, mostly cities, had record murder rates. Okay. We daily see stories about how somebody who's been released on bond, in spite of their criminal history, has already committed another crime, murdered, robbed, carjacked, stolen something from somebody. 24 police officers were shot in January. It's not even over yet, right? They know that you don't think they know that they're lying? I think they do.
Yeah.
She knows she's lying. I mean,
well,
how could she not know?
Lying.
Carjackings are up over 500% in Washington, D.C.
Where would that appear?
Well, I mean, these are their own.
Well, where would it appear? Would it appear in the Washington Post?
Right.
No. Would it appear on MSNBC? No. Would it appear on CNN? No. She wasn't lying. You can look at her. You can look at those eyes, those evil eyes.
And, well, maybe.
And no, she's not lying. She's going, what's soft on crime? I don't know what people are talking about.
There's
this alternative universe. This alternative universe, we're talking about soft on crime. That's just, to her, it's insanity. And they should be concentrating on our invading the Ukraine. We must get to war.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, though. This is, again, where when they tell you stuff like that and people can turn around and see it's not true. Have you guys seen there was a video clip, an actor, I'm not really sure what he acted in, but he took a video, a cell phone video of a guy at a Rite Aid in Manhattan, basically, right? And the guy is just stealing everything off the shelves. And then he walks out past a security guard. And this actor is like, what's up with that? Well, he taped a follow-up one about what's happened to that Rite Aid now. So Thomas, if we could please play the Rite Aid video clip.
And there's nothing to steal because this Rite Aid, like so many other Rite Aids, is closing down because everybody stole everything. And the workers here don't know if they're getting jobs. Congratulations, losers.
And I think he's referring as losers to the mayor and the, you know, the government in New York. I mean, it's like there are Rite Aids closing across the country because when she says, well, soft on crime, what are they talking about? They made shoplifting not a crime, basically. Well, she does because they support that. Well, I would disagree with you. They say that's part of their progressive crime, criminal justice reform is to get rid of crimes, basically. I mean, look what's happened.
That's not how she looks at it. She looks at that they're taking reasonable reforms, bail reforms, and it's going wonderful. Because in her information universe, that's what it is. And she's shocked that we're in our own information universe. You know, we look at CNN and MSNBC, but very few people who love MSNBC look at Fox or...
But they still have got to go to the Rite Aid, is what I'm saying. They still are homesick with COVID.
Well, I think they closed it down because of racism.
Oh, yeah.
Corporate greed, you know, hurting the black folks in the Upper East Side or something.
Let's read this. This is from Sandra. I agree with Julie. I think so, too. Saki knows the truth. She just covers everything up. I mean, because I think they lie so much. And again, it's war to them, right? So, I mean, if you're in war, lying is not a bad thing, right? If you can convince the other side.
Well, the first thing that goes out the door in war is truth. And so they don't care about it. But I promise you, they live in their own universe. And they're scared of the fact we don't live in their information universe anymore. We're free from their control. And they don't know what to do about it. And that's what that whole CNN discussion was. What are we going to do about these people getting their information not from us?
Right. Well, and this is from Jacob. How much do you want to bet that somebody or some company is taking the names and addresses and maybe social security numbers if listed on death certificates and will use those names to rig the next election?
Absolutely.
Jacob, it's worse than that. There's a company that was initially, we had this on our show a little while ago. It's called Aaron.
Eric.
It was originally funded by George Soros. Now we are paying for it, our tax dollars. The Colorado Progressive Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, has a contract. It's a progressive organization. Basically, and they say we'll clean up your voter rolls,
but
right?
We won't tell you.
But we won't tell you, and they don't actually clean them up. They don't take anybody off the voter rolls. And what they do, Jacob, is they compile data like that from the Department of Motor Vehicles, and then they gather all kinds of information. They gather information on who's voted, who hasn't voted. People are registered; they don't even know they're registered because they're automatically registered anymore. So you are absolutely right. There are many companies out there, key companies. Mark Elias and his organization, right, gathering data and then using that, I think, and it's going to be weaponized is the only word for it in the 2022. It was weaponized in 2020, but right. It's going to be even more so in 2022 and 2024. And that, again, guys, is why I think you're seeing them all freak out so much these days about the Joe Rogans, the Tucker Carlsons, the Dan Bonginos, and it's going to get worse. The trouble is, though, that they have made it
so
obvious.
Well, how far do you have to go down to get to us?
Right.
I mean,
that's just an algorithm. Right.
I mean, they're kind of, well, Chuck and Julie are very dangerous out there. I mean, they're
well, I mean,
we must terminate them.
And again, that's just based on when they canceled our show, there was nobody at YouTube, not canceled, when they just took to eliminate our channel, and we cannot have a channel ever again forever.
Ever.
They will double check if we try to get a new email like we would want to. But I mean, they're not listening to our show. They're just, you know, they know what the content, sort of the gist of the show is, because we put that basically in the description. And then if our show talks about, if they hear the keywords election, if they see
COVID,
stuff like that, they just automatically censor it. As long as we're talking about that, they censor it. And I know that's true because a few times I tried posting the same show, I would label it really like what we were talking about, like the truth on COVID or something like that. And then the next one, I would label puppies and kittens, mm-hmm. right? Just to see what happened. And they would inevitably censor the one and not the other, or they'd send me a warning about the one and not the other. So they're using algorithms to shut people up, but I think it's too late because now you've got Rumble, you've got some of the alternate, you know, Parler, Getter, all kinds of Twitchy, all kinds of things out there. Hopefully the Trump whatever, the Truth Social Network launches. They're working on it pretty quick here.
Yeah, Jacob said a good friend of mine, Larry Ambrose, passed away on Friday. We're going to do a great tribute to Larry Ambrose and the Glendale Cherokee Chronicle this next issue, because Larry was just a great guy.
That's an aside there. We can maybe kind of segue, talk about that for a second. If people don't know, Larry Ambrose was with Inc., right? And he was a huge neighborhood proponent in Denver fighting the bad guys. And he died of cancer, I think, on the 28th. And maybe we can get people on a talk to the show too, because talk on the show as well about it. But he was somebody who just fought hard against all of the massive developments, the high density stuff. And I imagine if Larry Ambrose is probably a pretty progressive guy. I mean, I would imagine he's a liberal, but he also though fought for neighborhoods because
we had him on our show.
Yep.
Back into 710 Canyon West.
So where do you go? Well, we got about 5 minutes before we get to Joe. So where do you?
What's your other video you have?
We put them all.
There you go.
Where do you see? Are you guys there too? If you want to comment, where do you see it going? Do you think do you think it's going to get uglier before it gets better? And two, do you think it's going to get better? And how so?
I think this is one of the most encouraging, dramatic changes in the political landscape in the last 50 years. The fact that they no longer can control what you and I listen to and hear. And the failure to, you know, the one person estimated one time that having the media on their side was worth 15 points. And then he had to back off. So, well, only meant two or three.
Oh, and the polls, you mean?
No, well, just at the election.
Okay.
So, and I think it's close to, you know, his first one was correct. To be able to shape the stories, describe what stories, are you going to cover the Ukraine? Are you going to cover crime? Are you going to cover immigration flights? Or are you going to cover racism in the South or something? Is all the difference in the world. And they are going crazy. They do not know what to do. They can't figure it out. You know, we've tried to bash everybody down. That and you can see them go, oh, they'll just pop up again someplace else.
Right. And this is from Charlene. Remember when Biden sent out the call exactly that social media needs to get busy stopping disinformation? They are very worried. And this is from Jacob. Back to Larry Ambrose. I told him he should be buried in Chicago. That way he could stay politically active. That's true. It's not as funny as it could be. Yeah, I think that... Dr. Donna, I have hope. Usually I can make a closer call, but the last 2 years have really been grinding years, just on and never letting up. Yeah. But here's where I think there is hope, not just in what you said about the fact that, you know, they don't have the influence that they used to have, but the fact that people have spontaneously, organically just quit listening because people know that they're lying. Right. I mean, so it's the reason behind them losing the influence. The fact that every, you know, average, everyday, deplorable people out there, soccer moms, you name it, are just not listening anymore because they know it's not true. I mean, they know it has no value. People watch the media and listen to shows because they think it adds something to their life or their day. Right.
Well, you go back 10 or 15 years and maybe you have to go back even a little further than that. And I would pick up the New York Times every day, Washington Post. No, I couldn't get the Washington Post. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Denver Post, and the Rocky Mountain News. Now, all of those have left-wing perspective. The Wall Street Journal editorial page back then didn't, but their regular stories were all New York Times writers or former New York Times writers. And so as much as I would filter out what I could filter out, and I filter out a lot, they still influence how you feel and the way you think of everything. That's all gone. I mean, if you're willing to pay the paywall, no, something appears... For our newspaper, we used to say if Denver Post covered something, maybe we wouldn't because it'd just be repetitive. Nobody gets the Denver Post anymore. Nobody even bothers to pay the paywall. And that'd be Associated Press and their left-wing views. And so all of that is gone. All of their control is gone. It's all gone. And they're freaking out about it. And I think that lack of informational control is now reflected in the generic polls and everywhere else, where people are no longer going, well, whatever the Democrats say is nice.
Right. And this is also from Charlene, and I agree with this too. The internet brought about some unintended consequences, real-time information. In the past, information was more easily controlled. Exactly, Charlene. And the more they try to, again, with that, when that woman on CNN referred to herself as enlightened, and the rest of the other people, you know, Brian
we
Stelter,
the
more enlightened people.
And these other people getting this misinformation.
And they're, I mean, she's not kidding. They consider themselves enlightened, and they don't get that people can just kind of Google something and at least see that there's another side. And they don't get that when they twist and turn around COVID and mask, no mask, vaccines work, and everything, the end all be all, okay, no, you're still going to get sick. And no, we're not teaching critical race theory. Okay, well, we are teaching critical race theory. They like to, they're trying to pretend that none of that is happening. Because I kind of disagree with you, Chuck. I think, yes, they live in their own bubble, but I think that there is an awareness on their part that they're lying, which is why they're talking about censoring.
They've lied all the time. They don't know if they're lying. They wouldn't know the difference between lying and not lying. They've done it all their lives. It's whatever they're political narrative is, and they believe in their political narrative regardless of what the facts are.
Right. This is from Leo. Saw last Sunday's Denver Post in the grocery. What I wipe with is sicker than that. And then this from Dr. Donna. You're in rare form today, Leo. Yeah, I know the Denver Post is just pathetic. I mean, and it's not even the stories in it are largely, you know, national. Number one, or two, they have one reporter who writes for a series, writes a story that then they all have on.
Well, they keep on calling you up saying, hey, we're going to deliver the Sunday free. I don't want it.
No,
I don't want it. Don't deliver it in. Quit calling me.
Right. Well, and same thing with CNN. I mean, they lost 80% of their audience. Yeah. That means 8 out of 10 people who are watching CNN at this time last year, which still wasn't very many compared to the others, are not watching at all. Hey, and then Thomas, I don't see Joy Overbeck. So maybe if you want to give her a call, go ahead and call her on the first phone number that I sent you there. We can get her on to talk about this. But I mean, in this issue that we're going to talk about is also the same, right? For a while.
Julie, it's Joy. I'm on. I've been on for about, I don't know, 7-8 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Oh, never mind, Thomas. Oh, I didn't see you come up in the waiting room. Unless, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. So hello, welcome to the show then.
Thanks, yeah. Hi, Chuck, what a great day, huh?
Hey,
so I wanted to talk to you about this Colorado Board of Education and the proposed standards, the revision in the standards for social studies. And Joy, I promoted you saying not only are you able to expose it, because you've been great in the fight for parents' rights, especially in Douglas County, but all over. But I said, you know, you're a woman of action and you can tell us what to do about it too. So, yeah, well, Chuck, be optimistic. So first, welcome. And second, why don't you walk us through some of the high points, low points, I guess I would call them, of these proposed social studies revisions that would be taught to all Colorado kids.
Okay, first of all, disclaimer, this is deadly stuff, you know. There are 174 pages of this very deadly stuff on the Board of Education website. You know, just Google Board of Education. It's hard to find, though. Actually, I couldn't find it. Somebody had to tell me where to find it. And they're proposing new social studies standards. Social studies is important because it includes civics and history and economics. Who knew that history isn't broken out from, you know? And of course, they've managed to put to stuff everything into this new curriculum that they want in Douglas County, that they want in all of our school districts, our 64 or whatever school districts across our state, across the nation. They put it all in these new standards, and they are nasty. So for instance, so I went through this 174 pages, and I called out the various elements that are actually proposed, that are changed in these standards. And sorry about this message. Oh, gosh, I've got a...
No, that's okay.
I've got a call. Sorry, it's my other phone.
The modern internet. I know. Everyone, that's a Board of Education calling you to say, shut up, Joy. Quit telling
me. Yeah, right, right. We'll be right over with our battering rams, right?
Right.
Our pistols drawn. You know, I'm a Heritage Sentinel, so people should go to Heritage Action and sign up to be Heritage Sentinels. We have a call every, actually come to think of it, 3:35 on Monday afternoon. So it's a national heritage, it's only a half hour, and it updates people and tells us all what to do to get in the fray. Anyway, this thing, I'll give you a couple of examples. Preschoolers are steered toward the major theme of CRT, that skin color, not character or intrinsic human value, is a defining characteristic of each individual. 3- and 4-year-olds who typically don't even notice race are told to, and this is on page 4 of the 174 standards, quote, engage in one-on-one and small conversations about similarities and differences among individuals. For example, hair, eyes, skin tone. Okay. So this is this us versus them mentality, right, starting in preschool, starting at age 3. All right. And then it's injected into every grade level numerous times. They constantly separate out like 5 different categories of human beings from the rest of us. And that those are African-Americans. They call them marginalized people, mm-hmm. right? African-Americans, Asian-Americans, Latinos, indigenous peoples, LGBTQ, and religious minorities. And then they talk about the barriers that prevent them from being, quote, contributing, end quote, citizens. So preschoolers, how do they introduce preschoolers to a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender families? Well, they do it through the idea of diversity. Page five, encourage preschoolers to appreciate individual differences by providing diverse materials, literature, and activities. For example, books about diverse families. Mm. Diverse families is code for a host of books like Jimmy Has Two Mommies, Stella Brings the Family. These are actual books about a little girl with two daddies and other diverse families with homosexual or transgender partners. And so I say in this report that I've put together, parents, not the schools, should decide when their children learn about homosexuality and transgenderism. And it's probably not at age 4.
No. Well, and you know, and let's go back. There are just so many things wrong with it. I mean, I think we worked hard as a society and we're working hard to get to a point where we didn't drill down on the differences between people, but on the similarities and talked about how we're all the same and how we want to, you know, love one another and love you for what's inside of you, not on the outside of you. And this is a whole agenda that specifically, like you said, Joy, it separates us from them. And it's like, if you're my Black friend, well, you know, you've been marginalized and now I have to treat you differently and you treat me differently. And let's talk about how different you are and how marginalized you are and how it's all my fault. Like you said, starting at 3 years old, when I, you know, we've got kids, you've got kids, people have kids, they don't know that. And not only that, but in the hands, to me, what the really scary thing is this is so dependent on what the teachers are doing. Like we've got that Denver school, right, that is having specific playground nights for African-American families. And if you're a white family, you can't come to the playground on that night because of diversity. I mean, in the hands of a good teacher, what I consider to be a good teacher, this stuff is bad enough. But in the hands of a teacher with an agenda, like we've seen in California, where they're having secret clubs for transgender, you know, telling kids, hey, you're transgender, and don't tell your parents this. I mean, this is dangerous stuff that's being thrown at kids who are totally defenseless, I think.
And what's so amazing is everything they're teaching, some of the stuff that I just mentioned, it goes totally against what they say is their goal, which is to, as you say, you know, have kids love each other. Well, what, you know, you said a little, if a Black kid has a white friend, well, you know what? Black kids aren't going to have any white friends.
Right.
Because they're being taught from an early age that white kids hate them. And white people, this is another thing I say in this, and I go through the American history part of this, which they're just constantly, you know, smacking our history and constantly, it's just grim. It's horrible. And I've got pages and pages of, you know, I've got 4 pages of this stuff, but summing up, and I don't know how long I have here, but.
You've got about 10 minutes. You've got plenty of time. You've got almost 15
minutes.
Okay,
let me read you some of the stuff from the history, okay? And also there's a whole big component of this where kids are urged to become political activists.
Yes.
Fourth graders are told, and this is on page 44, if anybody goes to the standards at the BOE website, quote, civic-minded individuals understand that some of the most impactful and necessary changes to institutions, okay, in other words, institutions need change, right?
Right.
Have required the breaking of rules and demanding justice, even if these demands are not mainstream and are met with resistance. Mm. Okay, you know what that says to me? You guys go out and join BLM, join Antifa, you know, burn down a
police station. But don't go.
Don't protest mask mandate.
Yeah,
don't
protest.
Exactly.
And when parents have to stand up and say, hey, is it the province of the schools, of the actual public school district to promote law breaking? Because that's what they mean by the breaking of rules. They mean law.
Right.
Or violent activism. which can lead to all the destruction of minority business. Again, minority businesses in 2020. Yeah. They were destroying these people. They were killing people. The thuggery and the violence and the viciousness that goes on with these people. What and they see they're talking here about necessary changes. What will these children be taught are necessary changes?
Right.
And I said
right.
in this obvious political indoctrination must
well,
be removed.
Well, let's go back, if we could, Joy, to how we got here. The state legislature decided to tell us about that.
Well, this is a couple of years ago. The state legislature passed a direction that all the school districts now about these marginalized groups, this institutional racism. And of course, it's because Republicans haven't gotten out there and gotten elected. We need to get Republicans elected. If we just have two more senators, I believe it is, who are Republicans in the Colorado Senate, we can stop all this crapola. We can stop it.
Well, then we need to, though, let me, as Dave Williams pointed out, this is an aside, Joy, and I don't want to get too bogged down in this, but as Dave Williams pointed out, a whole slew of Republicans voted actually for this in the beginning.
Yes. In fact, 17 of the 24 House members voted for the special commission who would make these recommendations to the Board of Education, and that the committee for this would be appointed by Polis. And so who do you think Polis is going to appoint? He appoints far lefty people who come up with far lefty stuff. And then what happens? Then the 24 Republican, the 17 Republicans that pushed it now are complaining about it. And they're making sure that the name of the 7 Republicans who refused to vote for this commission is not included. So it isn't just 2 Senate seats. The Senate has gone left. It's all of its ratings have gone left. The Republican Party is in Colorado is going to be a left-wing party.
Okay, let's all just move to Italy, okay?
I mean, yes, there we go.
This is the thing, Chuck. I always say this, and of course you will disagree, which I understand. Uh-huh. And certainly I'm disgusted with these Republicans. We have them and also in D.C. Okay, we have them in D.C.
You've got them for your party chair and Douglas County.
Sicily or Tuscany, you know, throw a coin. I'd go for Tuscany, I guess, Leo.
Well, if you've ever been to, both of them, you would not choose
Sicily. I've never been to Sicily. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Whereas I have, I don't have friends in Tuscany. Just kidding, I wish.
That's where we got married. Is Tuscany.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. Let me say this because I want to steer it back.
I want to finish up because this is the same rubric that we get from Peter on 710 KNUS that we get from Chuck all the time. I will always, it took them 40 years to destroy our country, right? And it's going to take decades to get it back. It's going to take decades. And this is the weeding out of the people you're talking about. The weeding out of the people who are America lasters. We've got to get America First Republicans in there. People have to join their Republican Party and get to be precinct leaders. We're having a big central committee meeting on Saturday, the Douglas County GOP. And we're going to elect people, our precinct people get to vote. That's how you get to vote. That's how you get leaders who are America firsters, not America lasters. And a lot of these people too, you got to realize they're just afraid. They have families, they have businesses, okay? They are afraid that the Dems, if they don't vote for this nonsense, we'll call them racist. There's a lot of fear going around.
Well, people have to be bold.
What do you, I just ask you, just curious, what do you think of Stu Parker, who's the chairman of the Douglas County?
I'm not going to get into personalities, and I'm not going to get into
well, it's politics. Politics.
I'm not,
is personality.
No, I'm not
going to.
No, I'm talking
but
about.
You say you're not going to talk about people.
No, I'm not going to. I'm sorry. I'm a one track mind on this. This is what I am. I'm an activist. I try to activate people to, in fact, you've got to email. Okay,
right.
The Colorado Board of Education. Everybody, write this down. Okay, it's CO standards with an S standards revision at cde.state.co.us. They never make it easy, right? They don't make anything easy. They're there every day trying to destroy our state. So we have to be up to the job every day of swacking back. I call it the swag bag, you know,
and tell
these commissioners, tell these, there are 4 Democrats, of course, because Democrats own the state, and three Republicans on this committee. This is, I don't know, round two or something, revisions, but this, we've got to get your emails in by tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Okay. They'll be on the record, and then there'll be other hearings. There's other, you know, they go through layers and layers of nonsense. These won't be finalized for a while, but right now, the horrific parts of this stuff, which is this preschoolers and the gay and lesbian, the bisexual, the blah, blah, blah. The activism, the activism, all right? And third graders, okay, and they, over and over again, they have these people, this one group that they put together, okay? Here's another one on page 39 for, I don't know, third graders. How have people from different groups and identities lived together and interacted with each other in the past? For example, African-Americans, Asian-Americans, over and over again, they lump these people together like they're just one mass of people with one opinion, with one thought in mind. See, and this is, again, contrary to what they're trying to do or say they're trying to do with equity, which is every person has their own individuality and should be treated.
And let me interject here a couple of things. Number one, I want to let people know, for the people who are on Zoom and they can see the chat, Dr. Donna, just so you know, Joy, linked the link that you're talking about to send the email to. That's on the, in the chat section. So people want to scroll up and down there, they can see.
Oh,
that
that's
there.
Great.
Let me ask you this, just real quickly. Wording, what should people say? I mean, because if you write, you go like, I hate you guys, you're a bunch of crazy nuts. I mean, what, you're an activist, you do this kind of thing.
I'll give you 3 points you can say. I've got a four page piece here. I was going to put it on Facebook, my Facebook page, but I can't because it's just too long. So I sent it out to all kinds of people, and it's getting spread all around. Maybe you, do you have a page? Do you have a page where you, I mean, not a Facebook page, but you have emails you can send, that you can email my piece out because you have it to the right people whose emails you have. Just say this: the new standards inject unhealthy, divisive race, critical race theory, LGBT gender fluidity and gender confusion, and anti-American history bias into our classrooms, plus lawless social justice activism. That's almost all you have to say. 4 points, okay? They inject unhealthy racist critical race theory, which separates people instead of bringing them together. Okay, anti-American history bias, LGBTQ gender fluidity, and lawless social justice activism into the schools. And I'd like to read, and so that's all they really have to say. And these revisions cannot stand. This is not the school's business. This is not, and this, and what I was summing up with this, I'm saying, I'm asking these people on this commission, the Board of Education members and the people on this committee, there's also a committee with like 20 people on it working on this. I suggest that you think about how the proposed new standards will impact students as individuals now in their future lives and careers. How will it affect a child's self-confidence, sense of worth, and ultimately ability to achieve, to be told as a youngster that he or she can never overcome the societal forces against his or her success, because that person, that child is in a marginalized class, a marginalized class of people.
What do you expect the Board of Education would a school system do? The Board of Education is going to do?
Why would the school system deliberately want to burden a child with such a defeatist, anxiety-producing worldview?
I want you to give me a pronostication of what you think the Board of Education.
No, I'm not going to do that, Chuck. I don't do that.
If you don't do pronostication, you don't talk about people. You don't do pronostication.
I'm doing what I do. Okay, I do what I can do.
I want to interject something here too, though, because you know, Rev and I, he's in fifth grade. And at fifth grade, I think, you know, going into middle school, they're studying the biology system and thing. And I think he's got sex ed coming up. But one other thing too, Joy, I think that people don't talk about enough and that they aren't aware of is the very fact school needs to be a safe place for the kids emotionally. And when you're sending kids into these controversial, and they know when they go to school in the morning, they're going to be talking about controversial stuff. Because Rev is like, I don't want to go to school when they're doing the sex ed part. I'm like, Rev, you have to go. And he goes, it's just going to make me nervous. I mean, that's a real thing to him, right?
And it is a real thing.
And if you're a kid,
why would you make him go to that then?
Well, no. I mean, well, we're going to talk about what they're going to teach, and I'm all okay with it. But what I'm saying,
you're not. You shouldn't be.
No, you don't know what.
Yeah,
no,
know.
This is a proposed. Not, but that's a whole. You guys, stop it. I'm trying to make a point here. My point is that for kids, when you interject this controversial adult stuff, it makes school uncomfortable. It makes school not a good place, not a happy place, and it makes a whole. I mean, it's broader than just the specific things that they're teaching. I think it makes the whole school environment a bad place and a bad place for kids. And that, so it hurts them, Joy, I think, far even beyond what we're talking about.
This is one time I agree with Joy. We shouldn't send Rev into their indoctrination center.
No, because you know what they're going to do.
Yeah,
I mean, they don't even believe they don't even believe people are male and female.
Right.
At our charter school, it's a little different, where I'm okay.
Okay. Well, then you've looked into it. Well, good for you, Julie. You've looked into it.
But parents have to.
At the mercy of these crazy instructions coming
from. Oh, yes. Nope, exactly. Yeah. Joy, listen, we've got to let you go. Where can people, you know, find you, follow you, get information? Because you always have a bunch of great stuff going on.
Well, let's see. This thing, as I say, was too long to post on my page, but you go to my Facebook page. I've got an open page. You can participate in what I'm saying, what I'm doing, what I'm posting there. Actually, there was another thing that came down, just an alert that came down just last night. Sunday. The Cherry Creek School Board planned to do a BLM, a week of celebrating BLM, this week. Now, I put that all over the place. I think, and I put it on my page. So that's the kind of thing you can see on your page. And you can share it from my page because it's not a private page. So all you can share it to all kinds of people and all kinds of groups. I'm active on 40 or 50 different Facebook groups. So I share everything. And so that's what we have to do is activate. And somebody had put on the chat, oh, they're not going to change. Well, yeah, maybe not. But maybe they'll start to think about how they're destroying kids' careers and lives. What are kids going to say if they're taught from an early age they can never achieve success in America?
No, you guys.
Do you think they might? Oh, just, well, that's okay. I'll just do whatever. Or do you think they might turn to drugs or crime?
Or go to Rite Aid.
They're taught from age five that they can't. That they can never succeed because Whitey's going to keep them down.
All right, Joy, we got to go now. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy. We don't agree on a lot, but we agree on some.
Okay, great, you guys. Terrific to
thank
see you.
All right, thanks, you guys. Thank you. Joy Overbeck there. The Board of Education, I do encourage people. The link is there. Dr. Donna put it up.
It won't hurt you to do it. But no. I promise you they're going to adopt it, slightly watered down, and they're going
to
adopt
don't
it.
Don't be, don't listen to
well,
Chuck.
Well, we know what
don't
the world is.
You don't have to tell the world. You got to keep fighting.
I think it's good to contact them and good
Chuck,
to know.
Chuck, we're running
out
of time.
We're not running out of time. You got to tell people the truth. It's still worth the fight. It's still worth coming up. But our problem is that we're Republicans who came up with this idea, came up with this commission. Most of the House voted for it. And as long as we have a Republican Party that's left or far left, there really isn't much to do.
So we
got to
change that too. Hey, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, guys, at BBS. We will see you all on Wednesday. Leo, happy hour Monday, party Friday. We'll see what you come up with on Wednesday. See you guys.